Sunday the 27th of October 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Christ in John. Sermon title, The Healer. Bible reading, John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading this morning is from the Gospel according to St John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. The Healing at the Pool. Some time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and this was the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Margaret, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I speak are your words and that you would speak into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This piece of scripture is amazing in so many ways because at first glance, most would concentrate on the healing of the man. But there is so much more going on. And four thoughts that I picked up on whilst reading through this passage. And the first is change. For some, that's almost a dirty word, because we don't like change, do we? How often do we say to ourselves or hear others saying, "But we've always done it that way," or "I preferred the way we did it 20 years ago." I'm sure you get the gist of what I'm saying. And in some ways, that's the same for this man. He's been coming to this place for 38 years. That's a lifetime. It's what he's used to. So does he really want to change his way of life? It's the only thing he knows. It's like diving into the unknown. When I was young, my family moved a lot. In fact, six times before I was 15. Which meant I was always having to make new friends and attending new schools, which wasn't always easy, leaving my old life behind. So I made a promise to myself that when I got married, I would never move. Hence why I've lived in Erith Road with Alan for 50 years. I have no intentions of moving yet, but hey, we don't know what the future holds. So in some ways, I have great sympathy for this man. But in saying that, change can be beneficial at times. We cannot always go through life expecting things to stay the same. Because if that was the case, then we would still be lighting candles instead of flicking on a light switch. And we would not even know what a computer was. Although, I guess many changes throughout our lives have been for the better, but some haven't. But moving on is important. It's funny, isn't it, how often we look back on something and think that if only we could go back to that time or place, because in our mind's eye, life was perfect then. How many generations have said the exact thing? Probably every generation. We all think things were better then than now. And perhaps that's true. But we cannot go back in time. Our world has changed and we need to change as well. We may think that this man's situation was hopeless. Perhaps we've been in a situation where everything seems hopeless and, like the man, feel trapped and can see no way out. Well, if that's you, it's not true. Because the devil seeks to keep us thinking like that, with no hope or that the future will remain the same as the past. This kind of thinking is not from God. We are his children, and no matter what our deepest needs are, he is walking that walk with us. He will never let us face the difficulties of the world on our own. He is our hope and strength. But sometimes we also need to take a stand, to go that extra mile and reach out to our Father in heaven. But this man has sat on his mat and allowed his life to become stagnant, which leads me into the second thought, which is excuses. Sometimes it's easier for us to make excuses as to why we can't do something instead of trying. This man represents many in our world today. He's been coming to the same place for 38 years, but has never been able to take the important step he needed to move on with his life. But then Jesus steps into the picture, just as he does for us every day, and offers healing, a new life, which will change his life forever. And what does he do? He makes an excuse. In verse 7, I have no one to help me. Someone else goes in before me. No one has come forward to help him, which left him in a bit of a predicament, because unless he could get into the water, he would not be healed. He's unable to see the deep well of life is actually within him. He doesn't have to rely on others. It's his choice, just as we have a choice. We can choose to make a difference and change our circumstances, or make excuses why we can't do it. We are all responsible for our own lives and what we do with them. There comes a time when we have to choose life or death. I wonder, are we still where we were years ago? Or have we moved on, allowing God's Holy Spirit to move in our lives, challenging us to take up our mats and walk towards the spring of life that continues to bubble up, waiting for us to do something new, fresh, and yes, even dramatic, as we walk together into everything that Jesus offers? Or are we still sitting on our mats beside the pool, waiting for something to happen? And that's our next thought, challenge. Jesus challenges us every day to step out in faith, take up our cross and follow him. I have not found one piece of scripture that says it will be easy. On the contrary, following Jesus will be one of the hardest things that any of us will do, but also rewarding and a fantastic journey, one that will continue for eternity, because we are all called to die to self and be raised to new life in Christ. The mission of the church is to reach the lost and dying world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Are we ready to accept that challenge? Because if we're not ready to stand up for Jesus, who will? When Jesus looked at the man, he did not see a broken, crippled man, but a child of God who represented the marginalised, the hopeless, and the struggles of life. There had to be more for this man. This wasn't his destiny. The challenge was, is he ready to take up a new role, a new position in life? One that he could save others. One that he could stand up for those like himself. That challenge remains the same for us today. Are we willing to forget self and stand up for those who do not know the love of Jesus in their lives by sharing our testimonies on how God is working in our lives and the difference he has made? Which leads us into the final thought, healing. Some would say that this is the most important part of this passage, but I disagree. I believe every aspect I've spoken about is as important, because when we put them all together, we discover we need them all working side by side to enable the healing to work. We have to be prepared to change, because once you have given your life to Christ, it will never be the same again. We are changed from the inside out. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We can't change ourselves, but the Holy Spirit can transform our hearts and lives. I believe that with all my heart, and that's what gives me hope. That's why we're not done at the point of salvation. God continues an ongoing work to mould us into the image of Jesus. Don't make excuses why you can't do it. Allow the Holy Spirit freedom in your life. If there's one thing I'm exceptionally good at, and that is making excuses. Fortunately for me, though, I'm in good company. Almost every man or woman who was used by God in the Bible to do incredible things started off with either trepidation or doubt. From Moses, Jonah, Gideon, the disciples, and that's only to mention a few, and of course, you and me. Give God's plan a chance, and you will be amazed at the difference he makes, just as they were. Don't allow excuses to prevent us from doing God's will, because if God has told you to do it, he will give you the tools and strength to make it happen. The wonderful thing about being in a relationship with God is that he will lead you into all truth, and he will be your guide. Don't be afraid to step out in faith and know that God is on your side. Take a chance on him, because we all need healing in some way or other. Jesus told the man in verse 8, get up, pick up your mat and walk. The man trusted the command of Christ, and the power came at once, and he was cured. Healing is something we have all prayed about at some time in our lives, whether that is healing for ourselves or others. And I've been blessed in that I have witnessed God's healing power in my own life, family, and in others. But I have also witnessed where there has been no healing. And like you, I don't have the answer. St. Paul never had the answer either when he prayed to God to take away his affliction 3 times. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Although God did not remove Paul's physical affliction, he did promise to demonstrate his power in him. And he also demonstrates his power in us. Billy Graham had this to say about healing. I understand your hurt, but I want to assure you that God understands your hurt even more than you do and wants to surround you with his love and compassion during this difficult time. The Bible says that he truly is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles. I don't fully know why God restores some people to health, but doesn't do it for others. Someday in heaven, we'll understand. But in the meantime, we can only look to him in faith and trust. If we don't, we'll only end up in bitterness, anger, and confusion. And that's a dead-end road. Remember, God knows what it is to lose someone to death. His only son died on the cross for each and every one of us. So where does this leave us? And what can we take home this morning from this talk and apply it to our lives? Well, we might zero in on change and think, what can we change in our lives to make a difference? Or it might be excuses. Perhaps next time help is needed, let's think positively on how we can help. Or maybe God is challenging you to deepen your faith and believe that God really can heal us, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Because we all need healing in some shape or form. Trust him. He can do it. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what Jesus can do for us, we miss the most important thing, and that is, we just need Jesus, who has already given us the most important thing in life, and that is complete healing and forgiveness into eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your healing hand that continually rests upon us day by day. Father, we pray that you would continue to grow us, to enable us to know more of you in our lives. And that as we get to know you more, we will understand what it means to be healed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.